You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hi, this is Lee Baucom. I'm with SaveTheMarriage.com and the creator of the Save the Marriage System. If you've been to my site, you know that for the last several decades, I've been working with couples around the world to transform their marriage, to take it back from the edge of destruction all the way to a thriving relationship. Now, that didn't happen overnight. I originally started with the same training that most marriage therapists start with, which was about fixing communication issues. But what I realized was communication issues weren't the big thing. And so I began to work on how relationships thrive and what comes into a thriving marriage. That created the Save the Marriage System, which really is designed to get people not just how to save and stop a divorce and save the marriage that's in trouble, but to bring it back from the edge to a whole new place. Well, along the way, I realized that there were some laws of marriage, some laws that we've been ignoring. And so today I want to start with a series on the 11 immutable laws of marriage. What I mean by that are these are laws that cannot be broken. If you break them, you're going to pay down the road. And when I talk about these laws, you know, I talk about the underlying issues that are true in a relationship. They are immutable. They don't change from relationship to relationship. This isn't about where one marriage might fall under these rules and these guidelines or laws, but how every marriage comes under these same rules, these guidelines or laws. One of the things that's interesting is that when people come to me with their problems, they are always telling me how unique their situation is and why their situation is not going to be fixable by the approach that I've used with so many other marriages. And then some people come and say, "How do you think it is that your one system can address all marriages?" Well, here's the reason. I'm not looking for the symptoms of the problem. I'm looking for the underlying issues that have been missed, the underlying laws that have been broken. Because whenever you break a law, eventually it's going to come back to get you. So when people say, "What about this symptom and this symptom?" what I'm trying to lead back to is really the heart of the matter. I tell them, for instance, that I have fallen many times in my life. I've tripped sometimes. I've jumped over things I shouldn't have jumped over. I have fallen down many a hill and had lots of different falls. Sometimes on my paddleboard, I'll miss something and down I go. And in every case, it wasn't what happened along the way. It wasn't the symptom of the fall. It was the fact that the law of gravity was in play. Now, those violations of laws are always going to end up with me in pain, and violations of the laws of marriage are going to end up in a painful relationship. But you can learn to work through those laws. I've also been hang gliding. I've been rappelling. I've been parachuting. I've done lots of other things that also required gravity to bring me to the ground safely by abiding to the laws of both gravity and of physics. And it's no different with a marriage. So as I talk about these laws of marriage, understand that you are going to look around and say, "Well, what about that couple? They're not quite doing that, and they seem to be okay." Or you may say, "Well, at one point we were okay." But I want you to think about whether underneath it all, maybe the laws were being broken and it just hadn't come back to haunt the couple or even haunt you yet. It's true in our own life. Think about our health. So many times you'll see people who aren't exercising, who are smoking and not taking care of their bodies, and they're overeating, and they don't seem to have a health concern in the world. And then one day, it all catches up. But when you look at them at a slice in time, you may not notice that it's all going to catch up with them, and that's the same with these laws. There are just some rules of living and of life and of marriage that if you break them, they may not come back and haunt you immediately, but they will eventually catch up with you because the underpinnings, the pieces that are holding everything up are crumbling already. You just don't know it yet because the structure hasn't collapsed. And that's what these laws are about, what these rules are about, these immutable laws. And so there are 11. In my mind, there are 11 immutable laws. And if you are able to live within these laws, you're going to watch your marriage thrive. So today I want to talk about what I think is one of the cornerstone pieces of this. So let me back up for a minute and tell you that most people, when they get married, don't really know what they're trying to get to. And that's one of the problems, I believe, is true in our culture. We have this way of having a ceremony, and it's not a long ceremony. You know, most people come in and they say their vows and they say their promises in front of people. And in about half an hour, 40 minutes, it's all over. I remember it in my own life, and you may remember your own marriage, where I walked in and I watched my beautiful bride coming down the aisle. And there was all this preparation, all these people around us, and there was the short service. Then, actually, our parents, our fathers, who are both ministers, pronounced us husband and wife, and we left. And I remember walking down that aisle thinking, I came in here 40 minutes ago, a single man, and now I'm married, and I've joined my life with somebody, and I'm not sure I know what I'm doing. Also recognize that that ceremony really gave me some pieces of advice that were hidden. And that's the thing. They're hidden advice. It's the secrets of marriage that we don't even know that are there. We talk about them, but we miss what it means. And so I remember when we headed off into our life together, and almost immediately we were 8 hours from family. We were fending for ourselves, trying to figure out what it meant to be a couple. And I realized that nobody had really prepared us. They patted us on the back. They gave us a hug and they sent us on our way to have, you know, a happily ever after story. But the hard part about marriage is that happily ever after chapter where you're trying to build it day by day to get to something you're not quite sure about. And that's the problem. I don't know of any other such an important relationship where all that you're getting is on the job training. Now, there are books, but for most of us, we don't get around to reading the books or looking into what's really going on with our relationship until our relationship is in trouble. And then at that point, we're trying to play catch up. And what I've noticed is even those books sometimes miss what I consider to be these laws, these rules about what has to happen in a marriage for it to get to where it needs to be. Some of these laws are just kind of theory basis, some ideas that you need to understand, some mindset places. Some are ways that we react and respond to each other, and others are how we guide our lives. And so this first one for me is that cornerstone. So here is the first immutable law of marriage. The goal of a marriage is creating a we. That's what you're going for. A we. So what is a we? A we is an imaginary entity at first. You are thinking about the fact that you've joined your life together with somebody, but do you think about it as being a team? Not just a team, but almost a whole nother organism of bringing two people together and creating a third entity, a third mindset where I can think about me, my wife can think about her, and then we can think about us. That's the piece where when couples get there, their marriage is going to survive because they see each other as a team, as a unit. And so that being a we, in my mind, is a cornerstone. We are in this together. We will get through this together. So many times in my life, at some point, I've gotten to the place where I've realized that we're playing tug of war and we have to get on the same team. We have to be the same place. And when we do that, we recognize that all the other pieces fall into place as we move towards dealing with things from that perspective. Now, let me just remind you that being a we is not about being kind of a conglomeration. It's not being a super glue couple. You know those super glue couples I'm talking about where, you know, maybe they have the same clothes on all the time. They even move the same way. They eat the same food. Everything is exactly the same. They kind of pretend like they are one and the same. That's not what I'm talking about. That's about two people trying to take on the other person's traits to be that other person. I'm talking about two people who are two strong individuals with their own opinions and their own beliefs and their own outlooks on life and bringing that together and saying, let's us join together and do that. Think about how that changes things. If you're working from a we perspective, it's no longer about what do you want, what do I want. It's what would be good for us. What's the best for us? That's kind of what happens in a family atmosphere at its best when people are no longer trying to get what they want and they're trying to go with what's important for us. Think about how that changes many of our decision making. When there's a job opportunity, you may say, you know, if I get this job, it's really going to be great for me. Or if my spouse gets a job, it's really going to be great for them. But what about me? What about them? And we start thinking about who's going to win out, who's going to win and who's going to lose. Whenever you have a mentality of who's winning and who's losing, there's another third option, and that's the us option. What would be best for us? So, for instance, when I have a couple in my office who are trying to make a big decision, and they're talking about what do I get out of this? What do they get out of this? I'm always asking, what's the best for the we? What's the best for the team here? And that changes the perspective. When you first get married, you shouldn't have that mindset of we because you've never worked on it before. Where else in your life have you ever created that relationship? It's the only place it happens. And I firmly believe that when you say I do, something psychological happens. And either you move towards we or you begin to struggle of you and me, of two me's really, and it becomes you versus me. And if you don't get to that mindset of we, you begin to pull against each other constantly and consistently over time, tearing the fabric of what is that psychological bond. Being a we is saying we can get through this together. How do we handle what we need to? How do we create this household? It's an imaginary entity in the beginning. It doesn't exist. I mean, legally speaking, when you get married, a third entity is legally created, so it's there. But until you start treating it like a we, until you start saying, what's the best for us? How do we handle the resources in our family? How do we want to come together? You don't make that jump. It's a learned skill. It's a habit. It's a muscle you develop as you're always thinking what's best for us. That doesn't mean that the two individuals don't lose themselves to that relationship, but it's a balance. And whenever there is a relational decision to be made, the question is, how do we get through that? What I've noticed is that if couples don't make that jump, they have a struggle all along. It's a power struggle. It's a control struggle. There's so many of those symptoms that we talk about when people come in and say, you know, they're always wanting to be in control and they're always wanting to be in power. I'm aware that they are symptoms of the fact that they have not understood that what they're trying to get to is that place of being a we. Here's the interesting thing. When a couple gets to we, it doesn't fall apart. If they can get to we, the marriage is sustainable and strong because they keep adding to it. It's a very rough analogy, but it's kind of like in the corporate world or in the business world when you form a corporation. When you form a corporation, you go to an attorney, they draw up some paperwork, and the state says, okay, there's another entity here. But at that point, it's only on paperwork. It's only money paid to the state to say there's another entity. It's only money paid to the attorney to draw up the papers, and it's no better than nothing before that because nothing's happening. But if you begin to treat it like a company, like a corporation, you notice that it begins to take on its identity. So you might find a building to house it in. You might find some branding, some words that represent what that corporation is about. You might even start selling things as part of that. You might even start hiring people under the name of that corporation. And slowly people begin to see it as the identity. It's not the people who created that business. It's the business, the corporation identity that begins to come out of that. Well, the same kind of thing happens in a marriage. It's two people coming together, creating a third entity. And the more you do things towards that entity, the stronger it gets. You start looking at your money as our resource. You start thinking of how you parent together or how you make decisions for the future together or how you treat sex as a we place of being a team, of being one flesh, as we're often hearing. Those pieces are what begin to strengthen the cornerstone. When couples get to that place where they understand that we are in this together, it is about building a we, that marriage begins to be indestructible. It has a strength of its own, and the more they treat it that way, the stronger it becomes. So the first immutable law of marriage is that it's all about becoming a we. If you need help activating that, getting to the place where you see that in your own marriage, please visit me at SaveTheMarriage.com. That's SaveTheMarriage.com. My whole system is built on that cornerstone of helping couples get to that exact thing. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save and rebuild and thrive in your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.